There may be more potential to find new treatments for different types of cancer in our four-legged friends than in lab mice and rats. That's something Nicole Earhart studies. She's a professor of surgical oncology at Colorado State University and looks at how to best use the similarities between dogs and people to treat diseases like cancer. Earhart joins me. And Nicole, when we think about testing and treating diseases in humans, we don't often think about looking to dogs, but maybe we should. I'm wondering why that is.
Dogs are more like humans than our laboratory mice or rats, and we share a lot of the same environments, diets, lifestyles as our own pets. And so they can teach us a lot about diseases, including cancer, because they spontaneously develop these diseases throughout their lifetime.
Is it more of an organic kind of thing as opposed to in a lab where a mouse or a rat might be injected with a type of cancer to see if a particular treatment might work?
You're absolutely right. So the development of cancer in dogs is something that happens as they age, just as it does in people. And we don't give cancer to dogs. Cancers develop in the dogs spontaneously throughout their lifetime, and we're in the business of treating those cancers.
What is the best way, do you think, to use these similarities? I mean, I think there would be a lot of people who would say, I don't want you testing stuff on dogs. You know, dogs are pets. They're our friends. They live with us. They're not like mice or rats. So how do we best, I guess, sort of utilize the fact that dogs and people are so similar?
So our pet owners are very motivated to seek care for their own animals with cancer. And the same types of cancer treatments that are available in people to treat cancer, such as chemotherapy and surgery and radiation therapy, are also available to treat cancer in dogs, and we've been doing this for a number of years, successfully treating cancer. And sort of the biologic behavior of most of these cancers is very similar between dogs and people. And so we note that chemotherapy works very similarly for the same kind of cancers in dogs as it does in people. But there are limitations to our ability to treat cancer, and promising new drugs are coming online all the time. And pet owners are eager to volunteer their pets to see if these treatments will be more effective with less side effects than standard types of cancer treatments.
As it is now, in dogs, are the same cancers considered on the more treatable end of the spectrum versus the more fatal end of the spectrum as with humans?
Well, in dogs in general, our quality of life is definitely the most important consideration. And so toxicity from standard treatments such as, you know, hair loss or low white blood cell count or nausea, for example, from chemotherapy, aren't really well tolerated by most pet owners because, of course, dogs don't know they have cancer. They just know how they feel every day. So our job is to make the treatments tolerable. In doing so, we usually can't be as intensive with our treatments as we can in people because there's no way to tell a dog, hey, this might make you sick, but it's going to make you better in the long run.
So does that mean that a type of cancer that might be very treatable in humans with a certain dose, for example, of chemotherapy or radiation, you might not be able to treat the same way in a dog? Because as you said, you can't tell the dog, look, it's going to be terrible for 3 months, but after that, you're going to be okay.
Right. So we walk that knife blade between being as intense as we can be, but still maintaining that quality of life. And we are successful at treating cancers in dogs in many different kinds of cancers. But there are some cancers where we don't get as long of a remission, or we may not tolerate the side effects as well. And so therefore, we have fewer options in dogs than we do in people.
Does that kind of sort of speed along potential drugs that maybe are less toxic than some of the treatments that humans go through for cancer treatment?
Yes. And so the new cancer treatments that we see are first shown to be effective in dogs can commonly be predicted to have a similar benefit in human cancer patients because the cancers themselves are so similar and we're so similar to our dogs physiologically, for example.
Have there been cancer treatments that people now use that were first used on dogs and found to be effective there?
There are many examples of that where in bladder cancers, lymphoma or leukemias, bone cancers, etc. So there are many, many examples of how dogs have helped drugs get to people faster.
And does this apply for diseases other than cancer? I mean, are there other maladies that both human and dogs face in kind of the same way?
Yep. There are things like kidney disease or even dermatology issues like allergies, lung disease, urinary problems. Many of these same conditions are problems in older pets, and we can learn a lot from our pet animals in terms of how to treat people better.
So do you think then that the kind of research happening on dogs and other pets should supplement what is being done in the lab with animals like mice and rats? Does it more complement that kind of work?
It does. So in mice and rats, because they're almost identical to one another, you can get a lot of information that's sort of proof of concept, sort of helping us understand, is this going to work and is it likely to work if we were to go to a more complex model like a person or a dog? And so once we learn the mechanisms and ways in which it works, we have a better idea of how to tweak that new treatment in a way that's going to be safer and more effective. And so it does complement, but it doesn't replace the need for spontaneously occurring disease models like in dogs and our pets.
Nicole Earhart is a professor of surgical oncology at Colorado State University. Nicole, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.